Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And always a privilege to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our callers. First up, Colin in Shiprock, New Mexico. Hi, Colin.
Hey, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I appreciate your ministry. My question is, I started reading Fox's Book of Martyrs last night, and I was just so moved by the strength that was exhibited by all the saints that have been persecuted throughout the years. And I wondered, are we as Christians called to mentally and physically prepare ourselves for such persecution, or does that type of miraculous strength and fervor just come in the moment from the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I do think that God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. But I love the way you forged the question. I think there is a sense in which we should prepare for persecution. Persecution is a word that is used throughout the Scriptures, and Jesus makes clear that if he was persecuted, that we too as his followers will be persecuted. But then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. So how do you ultimately have a preparation for persecution? It is by developing an eternal perspective. And if you look at what happened in the early Christian church, you see that believers had an eternal perspective. They knew that Christ had risen from the dead. They knew that they too would rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and so they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. They knew that someone could kill the body, but they would again be resurrected. They would stand again upon the earth, and so they could face everything that life could bring their way, because they knew that ultimately there'd be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Appreciate your ministry, and God bless you.
Appreciate you, Colin. Thank you for your call. Nathan next, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Well, thank you.
Hank, I gotta say, man, I thank God for your ministry, man. I really appreciate how God is really, really blessing you in your ministry.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you, Hank, was I've seen a young lady on my job, and she invited me to a class, and this was by far one of the most bizarre ministries that I had ever encountered. It is the IDMR Ministries. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
And one of the things, it was just so bizarre. They give a lot of credence to their founder, Dr. Kinley.
Yes, Henry Kinley, yes.
And she did express to me in our conversation just last night that she didn't believe that Christ was bodily resurrected. And I know for a fact that if Christ wasn't resurrected, then there's no warrant, per se, for salvation as a whole.
And for our resurrection, that's right, yeah.
Exactly. We don't have any warrant for our resurrection. But basically, Hank, what I wanted to ask was, along with prayer, what are some things that I can do just to be able to minister to her and basically just share, like you say, why it is I believe what I believe.
Well, you know, I think it's really good that you bring up the fact that they reject the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And for everybody listening in, we're talking about the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research and its founder, Henry Kinley, who denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so too do his followers. But what does Paul do for those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He makes a four-part argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the four-part argument is very persuasive. He starts out saying, look, Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. And this is something that whether you're a secular scholar today or you're a biblical scholar, pretty much all credible scholarship concedes that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. There are some people who say, well, he had a twin and his twin was crucified in his place, or he swooned and he was revived in the cool air of the tomb. There are a lot of hypotheses that have been set forth, but none of them really correspond to reality, and only fringe scholars even countenance such arguments today. So again, pretty much universally conceded that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. Then Paul says, well, you know, he was raised on the third day from the grave. After he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he was resurrected from the grave. So the tomb was empty, says Paul. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Now, just as I made the first point, I can make the second point. The friends and foes of Christ alike concede that the tomb was indeed empty. Thirdly, Paul says, and then he appeared. And he appeared to over 500 people at one time, most of whom, says Paul, are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, Paul was saying, those people aren't dead, they're alive, they're available for cross-examination if what I'm saying is not true. So the post-resurrection appearances of Christ are powerful proof for the resurrection itself. And then finally, Paul says, there is utter, complete transformation. It is conceivable that someone will be willing to die for what they earnestly, fervently believe to be true, but inconceivable that thousands would die for what they knew to be a lie. The moment that the sword is unfurled, you might well say, I was just kidding. So Paul here again makes a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he says, if it's been preached that Christ has been raised, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? Because if there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Then even those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life, he says, we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So Paul is saying, look at the evidence. This is not something we believe through blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. So all of that to say, you can use the evidences as a means of communicating the truth that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Now, can you talk her into believing this? No, but you can be prepared. And this is the point that I try to make on the Bible Answer Man broadcast consistently. It's not about evangelism. It's always about being equipped for evangelism, because if you're prepared or equipped, God will give you opportunities and the Holy Spirit ultimately gives the increase. So use this deviation as an opportunity to communicate that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that is not something you believe through blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. And there's so many other things that you can point to, which is to say they reject the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ. They embrace a pantheistic view of God and so forth. You can use all of these deviations as springboards or opportunities.
Right. And Hank, you spoke often about a flip chart that you have.
Yes. You know, there are a couple of things that we have. I often talk about the three great apologetic issues. Those three great apologetic issues are, number one, the issue of origins, how one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. So this gives you the opportunity to say there is a God. If you look at the universe itself demands an explanation, and the only plausible explanation is that there is an uncaused first cause that created it. The second major issue is the issue we're just talking about, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've done a flip chart on both those issues, and then finally, I've done a flip chart on demonstrating that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. What's kind of cool about the flip charts is all three of them use acronyms. So the information is given to you in bite-sized chunks, number one, and number two, in memorable chunks. So you can not only read through the flip chart, but you can internalize the information and then use it. That's the whole idea, to be equipped, always ready to give an answer.
Great. I would definitely like to get some of those information from you.
Well, you hang on, and we can put that information into your hands.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you for your prayers and your support, and we'll be right back.
The goal of the Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will encourage you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers to now listening in Brooklyn, New York on the web. Hi.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Man, I really love your ministry. I'm an avid listener of the Bible Answer Man. I was wondering, how can I minister to people and share the correlation between homosexuality in the Old Testament and homosexuality in the New Testament?
Well, there's no difference between the two whatsoever. What the Bible teaches with one hand, it doesn't take away with the other hand. So the testaments are not in confliction with one another. And what Paul says, and this is what Paul says, so now the question is what Paul says true? Is the Bible divine as opposed to merely human in origin, or is it merely human in origin? Is Paul just giving his own opinion, and now because culture has changed its opinion, should we change ours? That's the question we ultimately have to ask. But does the Bible teach what it teaches? Absolutely. Paul derived his prescriptions with respect to same-sex sexuality in Romans chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or 1 Timothy chapter 1 from the creation order of Genesis as well as from what is found written in the book of Leviticus. And then he contends that even Gentiles, without access to direct revelation, have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to behavior in this regard. So in the book of Romans, Paul is pretty clear. He says, here's the perversion, here's the penalty. And this is what he says. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural relations. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, that is not as though somehow or other this is mistranslated. No, what we have is we have a corpus of manuscripts. Those manuscripts can be compared one with another, and out of that, the autograph emerges unscathed. So God has preserved his word over time, and we know precisely what his word says. Now the question is, do you want to do it God's way or want to do it your own way? If you do it your own way, then what the Bible's warning is that there are penalties for that. Just as if I'm committing adultery, there are penalties for that. If I lie habitually, there are penalties for that. If I steal habitually, there are penalties for that. And so is this God being some kind of an ogre? No, this is God saying, look, I know how I created you, and if you do it my way, you are going to have success in life, as it were, because you're going to be able to relate to me and others in the way that I intended. If you don't, then there's a penalty. That penalty is not as though God's banging you over the head with something. It is a penalty that comes as a result of the behavior that you are engaged in. And what homosexuality actually requires a person to do is to contradict their own biology. And the idea is what God has played a cruel joke on them by creating their minds and emotions for attraction to same-sex sexuality, and then creating their bodies in direct opposition to that attraction. Now, again, you have to believe God either does that or doesn't do that. The Bible says God doesn't do that. He creates us in such a way that we can be whole and satisfied if we do it his way, and if we don't, then there are attendant consequences. So again, the Bible isn't singling out homosexuality. It's saying there are all kinds of sins, all kinds of sexual sins, and if you engage in them, there's a penalty for that. If you don't, you are, on the whole, going to feel more whole.
Thank you very much, Hank. And I wanted to say God bless you and please continue your ministry. I think it's time I start purchasing a plethora of your books to, better equip myself later on in life.
Well, bless you. I really appreciate your kind comments. Again, I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Paul. He's listening in Rogersville, Missouri. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call and giving me a little bit of your time today.
You're welcome.
Just to give you some background, I was raised Pentecostal and always believed in the seven-year, the rapture and the seven-year tribulation. But since doing a lot of reading, a lot of studying, and I got a couple of your books as well, I realize that's really invented. And so what I'm kind of curious about is, what exactly are we waiting for, or what are we to expect to happen next where Jesus ushers in the new heavens and the new earth?
Well, that's precisely what we're waiting for Jesus to appear, as Scripture says, a second time. And when he does, the universe itself will be transformed. Paul says in Romans 8 that the universe, or earth right now, is groaning in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. When Jesus Christ appears a second time, the liberation will take place with respect to creation. And what happens with respect to creation goes hand in hand with what happens to us in resurrection. We too will be liberated from bondage to death, disease, disorders, decay. We will be restored to what we were before sin entered the world, or would have been if sin had never entered the world. In other words, we will be able to experience Christ's in resurrected bodies in a resurrected universe. That's what we long for, that's what we wait for, and that's what Jesus pointed to. The plain and literal sense of our Lord's words suggest a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous are going to be resurrected and judged together. It's not as though there are separate resurrections. It's all going to happen when Jesus appears a second time.
Right. And do you see from Scripture that there is an event, Jesus appearing on the Mount of Olives, or something tangibly that we can look for? Do you see Scripture telling us anything like that, that is an event or a significant, tangible thing that we can see and witness that is going to usher in the change?
Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says that we're going to see a tetrad of blood moons or something like that. What we are told in Scripture is that Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, we will know it, because the universe will be transformed, as it were, before our very eyes, and we too will be transformed in a moment, in an instant, as it were, of time. And then we will see Jesus Christ. That is about as epic as it gets. We'll
right.
See the one who not only knit us together in our mother's womb, but the one who spoke in the universe leapt into existence.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. There's so much kind of deprogramming that I have to do, because there are little things I was told that, this has got to happen and that's got to happen, and then Jesus will be able to come back. And so, are you saying that really prophetic events have taken place, and we are just kind of in a waiting game at this point?
Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. What's prophesied is that the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. That has not happened. That is something that we long for and wait for eagerly. We await the transformation of our bodies, the renewal of the cosmos, the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are all things prophesied in Scripture that we're looking forward to.
Okay.
And we're not just in a waiting game either. We are called to be fruitful and faithful, that we may now change the lives of people by being tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We are those who are, as it were, initiating the inauguration of the kingdom systematically. In other words, more and more the kingdom is being revealed. So the stone cut out of the mountain is becoming a great stone that fills the earth. The seed that is like a mustard seed is now becoming a tree in which birds can nest in its branches. The kingdom which was inaugurated is being consummated, and we're part of that process. And so we are called to rule and reign, fulfill the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and the cultural mandate. These are all things that we are privileged to do. So it's not as though we're waiting around. But everyone is in that situation. If you're a futurist and you believe that there's a 7-year tribulation, what you're waiting for is the time that the Jews are going to suffer for what their forefathers did for 7 years, and we're going to be raptured. And then we're going to come back and people will be saved after the second coming and all these kinds of things. Well, the question is, if Scripture teaches that, I'd be happy to adhere to it, but we have to take all those kinds of ideas and test them in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I'm going to get, obviously some more literature and continue studying about this.
Well, you got it, Paul. Thank you so much for your call. And we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, so appreciative for those who pray for this ministry and support this ministry financially. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.